I don't usually start messages this way, but I want to do a little experiment this weekend. If you're willing to take part, would you go ahead and close your eyes just for a few moments? And I want to do a word association test. When I say the face of God, what comes to mind? More specifically, what expression is on God's face? Now you can open your eyes, and one last question, was he smiling? We'll come back to that in a moment. I want to invite all of our campuses to stand as we read God's word, Numbers chapter 6, the priestly blessing number 10. Here we go. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." You can be seated. The past 2 weeks, we've talked about the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. If you miss those messages, might encourage you to catch up online. This weekend, I want to talk about this beautiful phrase, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And I want to do something that I've never done. I want to translate this blessing into emoji. I did not learn this in seminary. And there's a little risk right here because emojis are subjective. And it's tough to translate Hebrew into emoji, but here we go. I think the blessing starts with the Vulcan emoji. The Jewish priest would form the letter shin with both hands above their head. As I mentioned, week one, the first letter in the word Shaddai or Shalom. And that's where Leonard Nimoy, who played Spock in the original Star Trek series, got the idea for the Vulcan salute. He grew up in an Orthodox Jewish home, and it was his kind of one-handed blessing, if you will. And his paraphrase was live long and prosper. So Vulcan emoji, the Lord bless you. Now this is multidimensional, and so let me throw a few out. I think this is smiling face with smiling eyes. Let's start there. That's the blessing of God. He's the God who's for us, the God who is with us. And then, I don't know, I might just add in a thumbs up and a fist bump just to add a little exclamation point. The Lord keep you. Come on, flex bicep right here is what I'm talking about. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. I think this is face throwing a kiss. And in case you care, this one gets texted to my wife quite frequently. And be gracious to you. Winky emoji. The Lord turn his face towards you. Smiling face with heart-shaped eyes and give you peace. And let's just go all in right here. I'm seeing a party popper, hand clap, rainbow cupcake, face with tears of joy. Now, right now, my seminary professors are either rolling over in their grave or rolling over with laughter emoji. Now, we're having a little bit of fun. And it may seem like now I'm taking this blessing a little less seriously, but I would submit that I'm taking it a little bit more seriously because a few moments ago I asked you to close your eyes and I asked you what you saw when you think of the face of God. I want you to know that God is not neutral face emoji. He's not disappointed face. He's not angry face. He's smiling face with smiling eyes. A.W. Tozer said, "What comes to mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you." So if God was texting us, and he has texted us, it's called the Bible, we'd find a ton of smiling faces with smiling eyes. Why? Because you're the apple of his eye. He can't take his eyes off of you. And he smiles on you all the time. In 2 weeks' time, we'll have our baptism by the bay. I want you to know, when we huddle up with baptism candidates as they go public with their faith, I have one prayer that I prayed for years. And I say this to everybody who's taken that step of faith, taken that step of obedience. I hope that you can see and feel and know that God is smiling on you. Do you remember when Jesus was baptized? The Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Come on. He said that with a smile on his face. And when we act in obedience and in faith, we put a smile on God's face. I want to put a smile on God's face. May the Lord make his face shine upon us. Now, I want to focus on shine, but before we get there, there are two lines of this blessing that talk about the face of God. It's the Hebrew word panim, and it's one of my favorite words. It's a plural word, and so it's multidimensional. Stick with me here. In regards to time, it can refer to the split second before or the split second after something happened. So it's almost a parentheses in time. And in regards to space, it refers to the place right in front and the place right behind. And so it's a parentheses in space. To put it in scientific terms, the shortest possible time is 5.4 times 10 to the negative 44th power. Any shorter than that, and quantum mechanics can't tell if something is simultaneous or not. And then the shortest possible distance is called the Planck length. It's 6.4 times 10 to the negative 34th power. Anything shorter, and quantum mechanics can't tell the difference between here and there. Here's what I'm getting at. God is 5.4 times 10 to the negative 44th power before and after. God is 6.4 times 10 to the negative 34th power ahead and behind. He is the God who is all around us all the time. Right before, right after, right ahead, right behind. Now, I like how A.W. Tozer said it. God is above, but he's not pushed up. He's beneath, but he's not pressed down. He's outside, but he's not excluded. He's inside, but he's not confined. God is above all things, presiding, beneath all things, sustaining, outside all things, embracing, and inside all things, filling. That is the immanence of God. That's the face of God. The psalmist said it this way. You hem me in behind and before. Now, every time I hear that verse, Psalm 139:5, I have a little flashback. About 5 years old, I'm in my single-sized bed in my bedroom in New Hope, Minnesota. And our family had a little tradition at night, kind of like the Walton family. If you're old enough to remember that, they'd say goodnight to each other. And so lights out, and I'd say goodnight, Mom, goodnight, Dad, goodnight, Don. And my brother Don would say goodnight, Mom, goodnight, Dad, goodnight, Mark, goodnight, Bigfoot. Every time, scared me to death. That was my childhood fear. And so you can guess what needed to happen next. My parents would come in and they would do a Bigfoot check. They would check under the bed. They would check in the closet. Now, fear is irrational because if he was in the closet, if he was under the bed, he wasn't Bigfoot, he was Littlefoot. And they would do one more thing before leaving. They'd tuck me in. I'm talking mummy style. I'm talking nothing outside that you know what I'm talking about. You gotta be under the covers, right? Because that's the only place you are safe. The psalmist said, you hem me in, behind, and before. When I think of this blessing, when I think of this verse, I think of the God who tucks us in, the God who watches over us, the God who turns his face towards us, the God who keeps his eye on us. By the way, Psalm 145, 18 says, the Lord is nigh to all who call on him. The word nigh is plural. In other words, it means God is near in every way imaginable to the greatest degree possible. You're here this weekend and you're walking through a tough time. Listen, number one, you're not alone. And my guess is that most of us have found ourselves in that spot at one time or another. Maybe you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I have an exhortation for you this week. I want you to do not fear evil. His rod and his staff, they will comfort you. He is preparing a table in the presence of your enemies. Listen, he is the God who will comfort you. He is the God who will anoint your head with oil, and his goodness and his mercy will follow you all the days of your life. I know you might be in a spot right now where there is no evidence of God's faithfulness, where you wonder, where is God? Have you ever gotten up on a cloudy day and wondered, where is the sun? No, it's still shining. The sun is still shining, but there's cloud cover. And sometimes I love it when I take off on a plane, you know, overcast day, and you break through. Oh, yep, the sun is still shining. Listen, this too shall pass. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. He's the God who is for us, the God who is with us. And I know from personal experience, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is hang in there. You hang in there. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. Let's talk about this word shine this weekend. In 10 days' time, I will check off life goal number 109 from my life goal list. I'll get up around 3 a.m. and I'll begin hiking to the top of Cadillac Mountain, where in Acadia National Park, and I'll watch the sunrise. Now, why wouldn't I do it during the day? Because it's the highest peak on the eastern seaboard, within 25 miles of the ocean, and it's one of three places that stakes claim to this unique privilege, and that is, if you see the sunrise there first, you're the first person in America to see the sunrise. And I thought a long time ago, at least one day in my life, I've got to be the first person to see the sun rise. It's going to be fun. If you follow me on Instagram, there will be a sunrise picture that day. Can pretty much guarantee it. I've seen some amazing sunrises over the years. I love seeing a sunrise on an early morning flight at 30,000 feet. I remember the first time I visited Colorado, we flew in at night to Denver Airport, and then we drove to Frisco. And so we saw the shadow of mountains, but I'd never seen them in the flesh. And the next morning I woke up and saw the sunrise over those summits. It was just spectacular. And at the top of the list, no doubt, was the two-day hike from rim to rim across the Grand Canyon. Got up at Phantom Ranch. When you're in the base of the canyon, the sun comes up and it begins to paint the canyon walls in pinks and purples and oranges. I'm not sure that you've even seen the sunrise until you've seen the sunrise in the Grand Canyon. If Crayola asked me to name a crayon, I'd probably do the Grand Canyon Purple Pink Surprise. It's unbelievable. The word shine is the Hebrew word ya'er. It has multiple meanings, and the most basic, the most intrinsic meaning is to dawn, sunrise. It's that simple. And I think it's one of those daily miracles that we take for granted, don't we? I mean, it's not like you're setting your alarm every morning. Come on, got to get up. Because have you ever seen the sunrise? It's spectacular. No, here's the challenge. It happens every single day. See, God is so good at what God does that we just take it for granted. Thomas Carlyle, though, said that imagine a man who lived in a cave his entire life, stepping outside for the first time to watch the sunrise. Carlyle said that man would watch with rapt astonishment the sight we daily witness with indifference. John Donne said it this way: there's nothing that God has established in the constant course of nature, which therefore is done every day, but would seem a miracle and exercise admiration if it were done but once. So the word shine means to dawn, sunrise. It means to ignite. It's synonymous with the favor of God, but at its core, it means to give light, to give sight. My goal this weekend is that we walk out with a little better understanding of what this blessing means. It's beautiful. I mean, it really kind of rolls off the tongue and it sounds nice, right? But what does it mean, the Lord make his face to shine upon us? Let me get theological for a moment. The Apostle John, in his first letter, uses three-word descriptors of God. He says, God is love in chapter 4. And then in chapter 1, God is light. A three-word sentence. And yet, can you imagine a more complex sentence? Are there any words that could speak more volumes than those descriptors? Here's what I think. If we don't understand the nature of light, we might not understand the nature of God. So let's go back to the beginning. In Genesis 1:3, God says, let there be light. Now, the famous composer Leonard Bernstein said that the best translation of Genesis 1:3 is not God said, but God sang. But whether he said it or sang it, God flips a switch, right? And there is light. But let me give a little different translation, a personal translation. And God said, let there be electromagnetic radiation with varying wavelengths traveling at a speed of 186,281.7 miles per second. Let there be ultraviolet and infrared light. Let there be gamma rays, X-rays, radio waves, and microwaves. Let there be life and health and color. Let there be photosynthesis and fiber optics. Let there be CDs and DVDs. Let there be satellite communications. And why don't we just stop right there? Light is the basis of everything. Now, I am not a professor of spectroscopy, and so I'm going to need our Georgetown campus to fact check me this weekend, okay? Pretty smart people there. This might sound theoretical, but I think it's going to be incredibly practical. So you kind of hang in there, okay? Albert Einstein said, science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind. I don't want to be either one of those things. And so let's juxtapose these two ideas, because I think when we're studying light, we're studying the nature of God. So light is the basis of everything. You have the periodic table memorized, right? No, you don't. But there are lots of elements. In fact, we're continuing to discover new elements. Is it 118 now? I don't even know what it is now. A few more since I was in high school. That I do know. Those elements absorb light at different rates. That's what makes them different from each other. It's light that differentiates those different elements. The entire food chain. You like to eat? Like to eat. The entire food chain is based on photosynthesis, which is a function of light. It's fiber optic cables that carry telephone calls and television signals at the speed of light. Light is the basis of color. It's the basis of health. Light therapy, it can help you with seasonal affective disorder. It can help your circadian rhythm if you have jet lag, okay? Light in the form of lasers can heal muscles or cut through steel. And if you have myopia or hyperopia, LASIK surgery, light, laser can begin to correct your vision. You name it, light does it. The Lord make his face shine on you. Is it possible that there is more to this blessing than meets the eye? Light's the basis of time. If you hit cadmium with light, it emits what's called the cadmium red line. It's the basis for the atomic clock. Light is the basis by which we measure. Whether you're surveying a landscape or building a cityscape, it's lasers that ensure accurate measurement. And of course, we measure space in light years. Now, the miraculous thing, the mysterious thing about light is that it has no volume and no mass except in the quantum realm. And of course, nothing is faster than the speed of light. Go ahead and snap your fingers. In the time it took to do that, light circumnavigated the globe half a dozen times. It's fast. Here's my point. We see such a thin slice of reality. We are only able to perceive with the human eye light between 0.4 microns and 0.7 microns. So the color red is the longest wavelength at 0.7 microns. Anything longer is infrared. And then violet is the shortest wavelength at 0.4 microns, and anything shorter is ultraviolet. But once you get outside that visible spectrum of light, light begins to do amazing things. Some, which I've talked about. Now, I don't have time to talk about gamma rays or X-rays or even radio waves, but let's talk about microwaves for just a moment. Microwaves can track a moving object via radar. It's what meteorologists use to forecast the weather. It's what air traffic controllers use to land planes. It's what police officers use to bust you and enforce the speed limit. It's microwaves that cook food much quicker than a conventional oven. And if you have the NFL ticket with DirecTV, it's light that corresponds with that satellite dish so that you can watch your favorite team any weekend of the year. Now, within that spectrum of microwaves, there's a frequency of ranges, and I'm almost done. The F band is used for television broadcasting. The L band is used for GPS and military telemetry. The S band is used for weather radar and Bluetooth devices. The X band is used for space communications. And the Q band is used for satellite communications. Again, here's my point. When you think of light, when I think of light, I tend to think of just the light that I can see, this very thin slice of reality from red to violet. But that's a tiny fraction of what light is, what light does. And when we read this blessing, when we receive this blessing, the Lord make his face shine on you. It sounds so simple. It sounds so succinct. But all those things that light does, the light of God can do in your life supernaturally. If light is the basis of everything, then this blessing is the blessing. It's an infrared blessing. It's an ultraviolet blessing. It's a blessing that goes beyond what we can perceive with the naked eye. And that's why the writer of Corinthians said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, mind has not conceived what God has prepared for you. Perhaps there are blessings in categories that you didn't know exist. He is able to do immeasurably more than all you can ask or imagine. What I'm saying is this blessing is all I need. This blessing is all I want, whether I know it or not. It's all I need. It's all I want. And all I have to do is receive it. I want to challenge you this weekend to receive it. Now, we started in Genesis, let there be light. Let me end in the book of Revelation. It says that there is a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, and it says it's shone with the glory of God. Another derivation of that word, shine. And it's a perfect reflection. Its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. And then it talks about the wall of the New Jerusalem. It begins to throw out all of these different precious stones. From emerald green to blue sapphire to black onyx to ruby red to yellow topaz. It's the colors of the rainbow. And so you begin to picture the beauty of heaven. And then at the very end, it says this: the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. Well, why wouldn't it? I'll tell you why, because the one who created light in the first place is there. And it says that they will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord will give them light. Are you tracking with me? That in the beginning, God said, let there be light, and light is the basis of everything. And then the priests come along and pronounce this blessing. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. And it's the God who created light who begins to shine in our lives, in the darkest places in our lives. And what is it? He begins to bring healing, begins to bring power, begins to communicate, gives us vision, does all of these things that light does. And then you get to the end of the game and, oh, we don't need the sun or the moon anymore because God himself is giving us light. So what do we do with this? What do we do with this? Philippians 2:14 says, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. How beautiful is this? You get from the old covenant to the new covenant, and God says, I'm going to shine on you. I'm going to bless you. And then it says, we begin to shine like stars in the universe. Now, the word shine here means to reflect. The scientific term is albedo. By the way, there is not going to be a quiz at the end of this message. I really am feeling bad right now because I'm past my pay grade on the science stuff, okay? But the term is albedo. Albedo is a measurement of how much light a celestial body reflects. Anybody notice the night sky this week? I did because I was out of the city and then you can actually see the stars. And I was pretty sure there was something different in the moon. So we Googled it and I'm pretty sure I saw Mars. In fact, during the month of June, if Google's correct, I think Saturn, Mars, and Jupiter are all visible to the naked eye. And so Mars, we'll just use them as an example, has an albedo of 0.16. In other words, 16% of the light that hits Mars is reflected. Okay? Saturn and Jupiter have an albedo the same, 0.34. So 34% of the light that hits them is reflected. And in case you care, the moon has an albedo of 0.12. Only 12% of the sunlight that hits the moon is reflected. Isn't that amazing? And yet it's still so bright. It's this beautiful nightlight that God has given to us. What does that have to do with anything? I want to suggest that the goal here spiritually is an albedo of one, 100% reflectivity of the glory of God in our lives. Let me take some pressure off of us this weekend. This is going to feel so good. Listen, it is not your job to manufacture anything. Nothing. It's our job to reflect the glory of God, the goodness of God, the joy of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the wisdom of God. As God begins to bless us and move in our lives, all we do is begin to reflect. Listen, Christianity is not about what you can do for God. That's religion. Christianity is about what God has done for you in the person of Jesus Christ on the cross and through the empty tomb. And because of that, because of what God has done for us, then all we have to do is begin to reflect his glory, his goodness. We begin to reflect who he is. Now, I don't want to be carried away here, but I really like this word, bioluminescence. This is fascinating to me because there are new studies that show that we literally, you are bioluminescent. Now, I know we see a firefly, we know they're or a jellyfish, right? But do you know that studies have found that we shine? Now, here's the challenge, that it's 1,000 times weaker than what can be perceived with the naked eye. Are you tracking with me? But there is a shine, and I don't know, that doesn't sound too carried away. I've met people that feels like they glow, right? Or they just have kind of a sparkle in the eye. And then I read about the transfiguration, and what does it say? It says that Jesus, his face and his clothes were like white, that it must have been 1,000 times greater than what is normal happening on the mountain. I can't totally explain it, but that's because I'm human, okay? And I don't know exactly, but and Moses, when he came down from Mount Sinai, what does it say? It says his face read, and I don't know totally what, and the goal isn't here to like get this spiritual tan, okay? And walk around like we're just kind of, you know, glowing or anything like that. The goal is to simply reflect the glory of God. And may God help us do it. I love this verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18. We who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. I want to close this weekend with just speaking a blessing over your life. As I prayed for you for this message, I just had a distinct sense in my spirit, and I normally don't do this, that there are many people who have a very dark place in their life that has not seen light in a long, long time. And the effect of that is then there's no growth. It's a part of your life that so desperately needs the love of God and the light of God. And here's what I believe. If you would open up your heart and let God begin to shine, and is it going to be easy? No. But if you would open up your heart and let God begin to shine in that part of your light, I know that God, his light can begin to bring these miraculous properties that light does. He can begin to work in your life and bring healing and power and do some things in your heart that are pretty unbelievable. And so I want to speak this blessing over you, not the priestly blessing, but Isaiah 60, verse 1. It's a beautiful prophetic word spoken by the prophet Isaiah, and I want you to receive this weekend. In fact, this is my closing prayer. If you want, go ahead and close your eyes and just receive this blessing. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. The Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. Listen to this. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. And everybody said, amen. Amen.